and welcome to the run-in to the games with Rob and Rachel as we build up to Paris 2024. Well, we've been kind of delving, haven't we, into the Transworld Sport archive to bring you the best stories from both the Summer Olympic and the Paralympic Games. And this episode is called Ones to Watch.
Come on.
There are some incredible archive from the past about ones to watch from yesteryear. But we're going to talk about the ones to watch, of course, heading in to Paris, which I'm so excited for now.
But so am I.
Before we get into those, because there are over 10,000 athletes who are going to take part, and we've probably picked about, I don't know, five or six each. You can't pick, basically, is the moral of that story. Should we start with our personal favourites first?
You go.
Go with mine, and then you go with
yours.
Okay, so personal for me. I went to Loughborough University, and actually a girl who I was at Loughborough University with is taking part this year in the Paris Olympics. Her name's Beth Potter. She's not a girl anymore. She's very much a woman. And I don't even think I should say just taking part. She's coming in as the reigning world champion from the triathlon events. But what makes this interesting is she was the first athlete actually from GB to qualify as well, because both the triathletes, Alex Yee and Beth Potter, qualified first. They had an afternoon tea in London somewhere with a beautiful backdrop of the Thames and the Shard behind them. What makes this interesting is she also won the Paris test event. So she's performed on the course, which is quite unique, possibly some of these athletes as well. And she's got this brilliant rivalry against a French athlete as well, which is obviously on home soil, Cassandra Beaugrand. Very high profile French athlete. So there's this kind of rivalry bubbling there. Beth got the better of her in the trials. She's coming, hopefully, going for the gold medal here. But what makes this interesting, Rob, you probably commentated on Beth.
I did.
At a different Olympic Games in a different sport.
Yeah.
Because back at 2016
Rio.
In Rio, she ran the 10,000 metres.
That's
she was a track athlete when I knew her. At the same time as being a track athlete, she was also a physics teacher. She was living kind of West London, training St. Mary's in London. That's near Richmond, if you guys don't know. And basically, the two couldn't really pair up. And then 7 years ago, she decided she could try the sport of triathlon. She had a swimming background, never ridden a bike before. Obviously, we know how well she could run. Fast forward 7 years, she's a world champion. And she's now, hopefully, fingers crossed, on the cusp of being Olympic champion. But the fact that she's also been an Olympian for me in two sports is pretty historic.
Who can you not wait to see and why?
Which one should I pick?
You don't have to just have one. Crack on, Stringer. The floor is yours.
Shall we talk about new sports, which I know you're going to love this one?
Whichever you like.
Breaking. Do you know much about breakdancing, Rob Walker?
Hey, listen.
You don't have
I'm a child of the 70s, love. I could dust down a few moves in the nightclubs in the 90s. No, I couldn't.
Well, I used to live with a breakdancer, so I did a few years ago know that they were, in fact, called B-boys and B-girls. So you basically forget their full names. They become B-something. And one of the best B-girls is B-girl Nika from Lithuania. She's 16. Real name, Dominika Benevich. The fact that she's 16, she's homeschooled, so she's putting every single thing into this. She says she lives and breathes breakdancing, or breaking as they call it in the games, 24/7. This is her life. She won the World Championships in 2023 to qualify for this day. But as a 16-year-old, the fact that she's put every single thing on hold for this, where it's only just become an Olympic sport. And when you kind of delve a bit deeper into it, I think a lot of people will kind of say, well, it's kind of just dancing. So much more than
kids,
just dancing.
Kids won't see it like that.
Well, she also started when she was five. And she's only 16. So I think people will love that. But the fact that when you read into her story as well and you watch a little bit of her training, she has a psychologist at the age of 16. You know, she thinks it's all about the mental side of the game. You watch her training, Rob, you would think she's training like a sprinter. She has all the plyometric boxes that she's jumping on and off to be able to have stability on one leg. She's doing lunges. She's in the gym, you know, 6 days a week. So she trained for 6 hours every day. I think some people might look at breaking at the Olympics and go, it's dancing, you know, how seriously do we take this? And they may question that even more, the fact that we're not going to see it in LA, which I question why you put a sport in for one and don't give it any longevity and let it go to LA as well. But I know the breaking kind of committee are trying to get it back into Brisbane because it is a part of the Youth Olympics program as well. So they're giving it legacy in one respect, but not another. But I think it's going to be incredible to see these athletes, a completely new sport. I think my right in thinking is under the Eiffel Tower, so it has the most iconic backdrop as well. Like you said, we do need to make the Olympic Games appeal to a younger audience, and I'm sure people buying your record breaker book will love to see this B-girl, Nika, take centre stage, and at the age of 16, she's trying to go for gold.
Listen, right, athletics starts August the 1st, the last day of the Games, and we might have saved one of the best races and one of the best stories in Olympic history until the last day, men's marathon. Eliud Kipchoge, Kenenisa Bekele, Kipchoge, the icon. Yes, he did it with pacemakers. He's the first man to technically run. He did run under 2 hours, but it's not record ratifiable because for a record, the pacemakers can only begin at the start of the race, and he had pacemakers coming
jumping
in and
out. Yeah.
Brilliant guy, an icon of athletics and beyond. And Kenenisa Bekele, fabulous 5 and 10,000 metre runner, stormed to golds in 04 and 08, following in the mercurial footsteps of Haile winning double gold in 96 and 00. The real reason that Kipchoge against Bekele in the men's marathon is so fascinating is their longevity. When we were in Paris for the World Championships in 2003, they were both on the podium in the 5,000 metres. Kipchoge won the race as an 18-year-old. Bekele was on the podium. How incredible that 21 years later, they are back in the same city for one last crack at Olympic glory. If it's
the last one for both of them.
Oh, yeah. They're both in their 40s. Yeah, they're both in their 40s now. If Kipchoge does it, he'll be the first man or woman in history to go back to back to back in the marathon. And I will stake my mortgage on the fact that will never, ever be done again, ever. It's so easy for something to go wrong in a marathon. And to do three in a row would be incredible. As for Bekele, gold in 04, gold in 08, just off the podium in 12 and hasn't been in the Olympics since. Massive gap of 12 years. It was controversial that he was not selected in 2016. I can't remember what was happening to him in 21, but it just wasn't the right time. One last crack at the big time. Two men renewing a rivalry on a global stage that first started more than 20 years ago. It could be the best of all the athletics golds to be determined if they both turn up and race well. And remember, it doesn't matter that neither of them are in the shape to run 201 anymore. Forget about that. Forget about the time. There's no pacemakers. This is about championship racing. It's about glory and it's about history for the two countries separated by that vast rift valley. And it will be a race not to be missed.
Well, I can't wait to watch that one either, Rob. But also, again, I'm being slightly biased here. I can't wait to watch our very own Dina Asher-Smith. She had a bit of a torrid time, didn't she, in the last Olympics. She had a bit of an injury to her hamstring that made her, she said, in the form of her life, actually going into that Games. She had a hamstring tear at the trials, and then she was still nursing that hamstring tear before the game started. That was resulted in her not doing very well in the 100 metres, not taking part in the 200 metres. Disappointment all around for her. So we hope she finds something magical at the Games this year. But of course, here on Transworld Sport, we caught up with her at the very beginning of her career, 10 years ago, when she was still an emerging talent.
The future for Dina is going to be as big and as successful as she wants it to be. She's incredibly driven. She's very focused. And yeah, the limit will be her limit, whatever limit she sets on it.
Yeah, it's become pretty much a way of life to me and it means so much. I just can't imagine my life without it. And I really hope that I can make something out of it.
Well, she's come a long way, hasn't she, since we filmed with her way back when. Since then, she's obviously gone and got two bronze medals in the relays from Rio, a 4x100 there, and then in Tokyo as well. But knowing Dina, she'll definitely want an individual medal at some point in her career.
Can't wait to see her in action in Paris. And one of the big interesting elements will be how much has she benefited from moving over to a new training group in the States. She's in Austin, Texas, and by all accounts, things are going very well indeed.
Who's your next athlete? Who's the one to watch?
Okay. Sarah Hurström of Sweden. Now, this woman is unbelievable. She got a silver in Tokyo after cracking her elbow in the February. She's also the first Swedish female to win a swimming gold when she struck top spot on the podium in Rio in 2016. Her longevity is every bit as impressive. And we caught up with her back in 2010 when she was just 17 years of age. How could she possibly have known the glories that would shortly follow?
I love the feeling that I get when I'm swimming. And most definitely the butterfly is my favourite stroke. It comes naturally to me, and I seem to be able to go very fast indeed. That's the best thing about the butterfly. When I'm in the water, everything just flows and I feel graceful. My biggest dream is, of course, an Olympic gold medal. I'm doing everything possible to be at my best because I can only imagine how wonderful it would feel to become an Olympic champion.
Well, thanks to her incredible talent, Hurström did get to feel what it was like to become an Olympic champion in 2016. And we wish her all the best in her quest to make it 5 games and join the rest of the Swedish team in Paris.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Tom Daley as well, one of our British hopefuls, he's going for his 5th Olympic Games as well. And Transworld Sport love catching up to the teenagers, don't they? Sarah Hurström when she was 17 years of age and Tom Daley when he was just 14 years of age, just before the Beijing Olympics in 2008.
Well, I'm going to Beijing for the experience, just to see what the whole Olympic experience is going to be about. And I'm not expecting anything when I go there. I'm just going out there hopefully to do a good performance and learn from anything that I do wrong or do good and take it forward to 2012. I was 9 years old when I first jumped off 10 metre and it was terrifying. I was on the edge, like holding onto the railings and I just crawling to the end of the board almost. I had butterflies and it was terrifying, but once I did it once, you want to do it again and again and again.
Well, it was clear Tom Daley was born to dive. And, you know, I've really enjoyed, as an athletics fan, I've really enjoyed following him as a diver because he's taken us all on a journey. There was an incredibly powerful documentary made about how close he was to his father, and his dad passed away from a brain tumour, and it wasn't too far ahead of 2012. And I thought Tom Daley, and this might sound strange considering there was Super Saturday with 3 Great Britain athletes, Jess Ennis and Mo Farah and Greg Rutherford, striking gold within 45 minutes of each other. I thought one of the moments of the Games was Tom Daley's individual bronze. I think it was on the penultimate night. It was a Saturday evening because I'd just finished. I'd actually worked on the sailing in 2012. And we went out for a few beers that evening and I managed to get to a pub. It was just about the only thing I saw other than bits and bobs of athletics. And if you recall, Daley was under tremendous pressure because he'd obviously hit the headlines in 2008 and then everyone had learnt about him and his dad passing away in the documentary. He's still only 18. When he was competing in that home games. And do you remember, he had to do one of his dives again because there were so many flashes going off. And the pressure as he walked back up the stairs to retake that dive must have been unimaginable. Not as big as Cathy Freeman winning the 4 in Sydney, but in its own way, at such a tender age, with his dad having not long before the Olympics passed away, I thought him coming out of those games with a medal of any colour, it was the epitome of a brilliant, brave bronze. And even though he's gone on to win a gold in the team event, I still think that bronze, for me, because of how young he was, because of what he'd been through, because of the amount of pressure he was under, he's a very, very, very special man, Tom Daley. And that medal in 2012 will long deserve to linger in the memory.
In the diving, like you said, he must have been going through so much. The pressure, the passing of his father, retaking that dive. His emotions are all on show. Whoever helps him with the mental side of his sport has to be awarded something as well because they keep him wrapped in cotton wool than what it looks like in that moment.
One of the things that first brought Tom Daley to the public eye was how talented he was at the tender age of 14. Sky Brown of Great Britain managed to strike a medal, a bronze, at the age of 13 in Tokyo. And Transworld Sport managed to catch up with her and her younger brother, Ocean. There's a pattern evolving there with the names, just ahead of the Tokyo Olympics.
So I might go to the Olympics next year and I'm going to compete for Great Britain. Well, like, we weren't going to do the Olympics because my parents thought it was too much pressure. But then, like, Lucy Adam, like, this, like, the boss of, well, like, the skateboarding, like, well, she's from Team GB. She said that, like, there's no pressure, just get out there and have fun. And that's the kind of way I skate. Like, I have fun, but I try my best, but... And so basically, we were talking every morning, and my dad, my parents were like, I guess you could do it. Like, it'll be crazy if I do it. Like, Daniel's kind of part of it. That's why I wanted to do the Olympics, because I feel like if I go out there and if they see me like this little girl doing this, maybe I can do it too. Like, doesn't even have to be skateboarding. Just get out there, have fun, be brave, and do it because you love it.
Well, I think wherever you are in the world, Sky Brown captured the attention, didn't she? Especially in the UK, where she became not only the youngest member of Team GB, but also the youngest medalist as well. She got that bronze medal, didn't she, in the skate park event. And that was the first time it had been held at the Olympics, which was pretty special as well. But the story is, Rob, the fact that only a year before, she thought she possibly wasn't going to make it. I mean, she had such a horrific injury in training that she had a fracture to her skull. Her left wrist and hand was broken. She had multiple different injuries. She was laid in a hospital bed. Her dad didn't quite know the outcome. And she kind of said, didn't she, because she's a big fan of social media, she's only 13. She's very much that generation of athlete that she said, you know, I've got to overcome this and all I want to do now is go and get gold. She wasn't able to achieve that. But the fact that she bounced back so quickly, is that just a sign of her age? If there's a 30, 35-year-old having injuries of that extent, managing to bounce back in just under a year's time, I'm not sure if that's particularly heard of. And what was vital there, she got that injury in 2020. If the Olympics had been in 2020 that year, she wouldn't have had any of these accolades.
There'll be lots of attention on her. There really will. And listen, these are our ones to watch. There'll be a huge amount of attention on Carlos Alcaraz. Do you know what? He's from Murcia. I was on holiday in Spain when he beat Djokovic for the Wimbledon title. There were people leaning out of their windows screaming. And there would be again if he was to become the Olympic champion. He's ever so exciting. He'll be very much at home on the clay in France, in Paris. Transworld Sport caught up with him in 2020 when he was training with the legendary Juan Carlos Ferreira. And this is what Alcaraz had to say to us.
It's amazing to play against the biggest player. The players are better than me with more experience. And so I go to the court and enjoy the moment, enjoy to play with the great player.
Obviously, it's something that we all on the team, you know, think that it's going to be one of the best tennis that we have in Spain or maybe in the world. But this it's very soon to say. But it's my opinion.
I believe I can reach the number one of the world, and that's my dream.
Well, for Carlos Alcaraz as well, Rob, he's come out and said that he really wants to win an Olympic gold medal. He said that he'd prefer to win an Olympic gold in Paris than another slam in 2024, which we mentioned, didn't we, when we were doing the episode on the greatest female Olympians of all time. How much tennis stars rate the Olympic Games in their season? It is pretty much another slam. In the year that it comes around, every 4 years, they absolutely prioritise it. And that's exactly what Carlitos is doing, and he'll want to replicate, won't he? His countryman, Rafa Nadal, who did it in 2008. And you'd think, I think he's nursing a bit of an injury, but you'd think it's almost written in the stars that he plays the Olympics on clay, on a court that he excels at. If he was to be fit, you know, for me, he's got to be one to watch when you're talking about tennis.
I love the fact that he's been vocal and honest about how much he prioritises and values a potential Olympic title, because we've touched on this before. There were definite question marks, and they were valid with tennis, with people saying, will these multi-millionaires and multi-millionairesses really care about an Olympic gold medal? I bet if you asked Nadal how high up on his list of achievements that gold was in Beijing, it wouldn't be at the top, of course, because he's won whatever it is, 14 French Opens, and he's an all-time GOAT. But I bet it wouldn't be far from the top. And I also think another example of what it means to men and women to become an Olympic champion in tennis, Murray beating Federer to win the Olympic title. I know it was best of three. Murray beating Federer to win the Olympic title in 2012, a month after he'd lost to him in the same venue in the Wimbledon final, was a cornerstone of his career. It is not a coincidence that he then goes on that autumn to win the US Open, and it is not a coincidence that he then wins Wimbledon in 13 and 16. And I bet in the fullness of time, if he does retire this year, I bet if you asked Murray how close was that gold in 2012 to replicating or coming close, how close was it to matching beating Djokovic to the Wimbledon title in 13? I bet he'd say it was very, very close indeed. So I love the fact that Alcaraz has come out and said that, and I would love to see him win it because the way he plays the game is phenomenal to watch.
If he's fit.
Yes.
For me, he's possibly a favourite to win the Olympics, and that's like somebody else as well. This time we're turning attention to golf, and let's talk about Nelly Korda. She's the defending champion in the golf event at the Olympics. She's also been on the most phenomenal form right now. Before we get into that, Rob, let's hear from Nelly and her sister Jessica, because Transworld Sport caught up with them 5 years ago.
We got pretty good genes. Obviously very competitive, but I think that we support each other more than we are competitive with each other. And I think that that's been really healthy for us, that if one of us is struggling, there's always one of us that's there to pick the other one up.
I think we both stay really focused, but we want each other to excel as well. I mean, when I'm struggling, she's right there, and like vice versa as well. So, you know, it's a good type of competitive. It's very healthy, and, you know, we strive to be the best, and we push each other to be better as well. I love her putting so much. I mean, she looks so elegant and sporty too. I admire her putting so much. It's ridiculous. Every single time we're together, I just watch her putt for a bit, and, you know, then I kind of like take the visuals and like kind of put it into my own putting.
I love her chipping. Like, she will chip from anywhere, and it's so good. Like, so good. She has more chip-ins than anybody, and I do pick her brain about it all the time. I'm like, how would you hit this? How would you do this? And I watch her chip and pitch all the time. I think she's one of the best, and she's so fearless in what she does. I don't know if that's because of her age or because of her personality, but Nelly has always been fearless.
Did you know that she used to carry her Olympic gold medal around in a sock? I mean...
Oh, I didn't, but I love that.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I like that.
She wants to have it with her, so she protects it in a sock. But surely that's just asking for trouble.
If it was me, I would be looking at it every 5 seconds, and I'd let people touch it, but I'd never let them put it on. That's what Dan O'Brien said about his gold. I'll let anyone in the world can touch my medal, but you can only put on a gold medal if you've earned one.
What she's done so far in only half a season on the ladies' PGA Tour, she's won 6 titles in 7 starts. She's making a bit of history, isn't she?
Well, first woman to do that in more than a decade. And she's still got half a season to go, so the records could be smashed. Again, a little bit like we were just saying with Alcaraz, prioritising the Olympics, or at least being vocal about how important the Olympics is to him in the medium term, Korda could shut up shop. She doesn't need the Olympics financially. I reckon she's won something like, it's either £2.3 million or $2.3 million already this year. So she's flying. But how refreshing that she would love to go to Paris and successfully defend the Olympic title. Again, I think golf is on its way to justifying inclusion.
Right. Final ones to watch, and this is our ones to watch the entire games. Who's your standout? And if you know Rob and I, you know we'll both be choosing athletics. Rob, are you going athletics? Because I definitely am.
Yes.
Cool. And look, thought as much.
I'm gonna mention an athlete. This is, I mean, how can you narrow it down to one? I mean, you could go Vaholm. Is there going to be another world record in the four hurdles?
No, we're narrowing it down to one. Don't give me 10.
Lavrone against Femke Bol in the women's four hurdles. Ah, right. Okay. I'm going to put my stall out here.
Come on then. Stall out.
Faith Kipyegon is going to win the women's 1500 metres. In so doing, she will be the first male or female to win three 1500 metre titles in a row. And when she does that, she will unequivocally become the greatest 1500 metre runner in history, male or female. She is going to go down as the all-time great. I think she beats Hassan. I think it will be a performance we will talk about for decades to come. Yours?
If you're doing 1500 metres, should I go the other side? Should I go to the men's 1500 metres and the battle?
Oh,
not
my gosh.
Not just on the track, but the battle that we're already seeing being told in the press between two athletes. It could even be three athletes, Jakob Ingebrigtsen and Josh Kerr, potentially Jake Whiteman as well, if you're having another former world 1500 metre champion. These guys have been at it all across social media, all in the press as it stands. Josh Kerr beat Jakob Ingebrigtsen to the world title only last year. He basically sees, Ingebrigtsen sees Josh Kerr as nothing. Insignificant. And this is just stoking the fire, which is going to make it the most entertaining track event for me. Go on, what are you going to add?
No,
it was my
I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask. Kerr or Ingebrigtsen, who wins?
Ingebrigtsen. And I'm a British fan.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that, because Kerr is a phenomenal racer and so's Whiteman, which is why Whiteman won the title in 22 and Kerr won it in 23. Ingebrigtsen will be burning.
Boiling up. Boiling over.
And he won't let it happen for a third time.
Exactly. Well, that's our ones to watch. I'd love to know who you think is going to win it, even just out of that 1500 metre race, because it's going to be fascinating, as are all the events at the Olympic Games this year. We're only a few weeks away now, Rob. I cannot wait. Get the book. Good luck on your tour around the US as well. I hope you spread the Olympic message far and wide to all the young kids. And thank you guys for watching as well. We'll have many more of these episodes to come in the future. But for now, enjoy the Olympic Games. We'll be back very soon.